Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And tomorrow, Ross Tucker on the show, Patrick Chambers on the show. Tomorrow night, 6:05 to 7, James Franklin. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Cincinnati Reds take center stage.
2-1 Reds lead it. Threatening again. Swing, fly ball, lifted back into deep left field. That's a grand slam home run. Adam Duvall touches them all as he drives one into the lower deck and left. His fourth home run of the season. And what was a 2-1 lead now balloons to 6-1.
Marty Brenneman with the call on the Reds Radio Network.
As the Reds win, they're off to a good start. Not bad.
First in the division. Yeah, first in the division last I checked.
Yeah.
A little surprised with the Cardinals near the bottom. But it is still early.
It is early.
Buccos and Cubs kind of hovering around 500.
The Pirates have been odd because they've either swept or been swept. Let's see. Let's get the ridiculous soccer stuff out of the way. Oh, that's right. You're a big soccer fan. Let's see. Cardinals lead the Pirates 2-1 in the bottom or the top. Bottom of the eighth inning. So the Pirates have one more turn at bat. And then, you know, even without Marte, they have not. I mean, even with Marte, they were not scoring. Milwaukee, bottom of the third, leads the Cubs 3-1. Oakland, Texas, scoreless top of the second. Miami leads Seattle 2-0, bottom of the first. So that gets you up to date on scores. Playoffs tonight, Stanley Cup, Washington and Toronto. Leafs up 2-1. Good young team. Minnesota at St. Louis. Blues look for the sweep. Anaheim at Calgary. Ducks look for the sweep. Columbus stayed alive last night. Beat the Penguins. And Edmonton was in action against San Jose last night, up 2-1. San Jose won 7-0. Celtics are in trouble. Down 2-0. Tonight, Atlanta's at Washington. Wizards won the opener. Oklahoma City at Houston. Houston won the opener. And Portland in Oakland against Golden State. Warriors won the opener. May not have Kevin Durant tonight. We'll see about that. Which, of course, Durant sat out 19 games during the regular season. So it's not something that's unusual for them. I think everyone knows that. And there you go. And Isaiah Thomas has left the Celtics to go back to Washington State for his sister's funeral. He'll then rejoin the team for Game 3. The Chief, Dave Ritchie, now joins us. Dave, great to hear from you, always. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm sitting here in my garage putting together a gazebo that I bought, and it's quite a project. So
some backyard you got, man.
I've done that. I know what he's doing.
It's a permanent one, though. It's not one that you take down every year. So hopefully it'll be just one great experience and done. So we'll see.
You know. Well, I have to tell you a quick tailgating tent story. before we get to what you called about. Ron Moeller, Jack Ham's quarterback in high school. I mean, the two of them go back 50, 60 years. All right. And Ron's always up with us in the booth. So what Jack does is he gives Ron his parking pass. And so I park next to Ron all the time for a game. So after a year of rain, Ron decides that he is going to buy one of those tents because there's just been so much rain during this particular year. So he goes out and he buys the tent on a Sunday with his son Brad. And he says to Brad, he says, you know, why don't we take it out in the driveway, set it up? That way we make sure that we have all the parts. Okay. So they go out there, they set it up perfect, all the parts, everything's in place, nice and easy. He says, all right, now let's take it down. Make sure everything fits back in. And Brad says, no. He says, what do you mean, no? He says, no, Dad, we shouldn't take it down right now. He says, what are you talking about? We've got to take it down. He says, Dad, let's have five or six drinks first, then take it down. It's a more realistic exercise.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. That's smart. Yeah, that's Brad.
Well, I could probably use a drink right now, but we won't go there. So I'm just wrapping up. I'm wrapping up for the day. I will say between On the Mark and the Dan Patrick Show and Dave Ramsey and you guys, I got you on the radio just about all the time. I'm out in the yard, so it makes it go a little quicker. But I agree with you about the situation with Hernandez, and it just seems that the sports media has gotten to be like the news media or the entertainment media wants to be. Instead of just reporting what happens, they try to install into their story what they think should happen. And boy, I'll tell you what, you were right on with your analysis about that. You know, just because he happened to, you know, pass away on the day that the Patriots were going to the White House, that was just a coincidence. That's all it is. And there's really nothing to tie him in. Most people have forgotten about him. And I really, really feel sorry for him. I mean, what a great athlete. And to not get himself away from the people he hung around with. It's just a total disaster as far as a human being goes. And you have to feel bad that way, but you also have to feel bad for those people that he hurt too. So, but why we can't just report the news or the sports news and be done with it, I don't know.
I don't understand what's going on with the business I'm in. I don't understand that.
You stay away from that, and that's the one thing I admire about your reporting except for sometimes some funny stories. I mean, you basically tell it like it is. Like it used to be when you listen to sports shows or you listen to somebody do play-by-play, and now we all have to be entertained, and I think, isn't the sport enough to entertain us? So that's just my thought. But I'm in a generation, your generation, that maybe we're being outvoted on.
You know, I wonder that, Dave. I don't know. I think that what's happened with those who run media, that they are searching so hard to ingratiate themselves to the 18 to 49 group, which is a critical advertising demographic. I understand that. And they've also been struggling to figure out what, quote, millennials like.
Yes.
And you know what? And here's something I found very interesting about that. They did a piece, and I'm trying to think who did it. I'm trying to remember what university did this. But they wanted to find out from millennials what they wanted in the stadium. And the assumption was that they wanted great Wi-Fi in the stadium so they could be on their phones and check scores and do whatever else they want to do with their phone. And guess what? That finished fifth.
Yeah.
You want to know what? You want to know what finished in the top group?
They
want
Go ahead.
Great restrooms. They want to have great concessions. They want to have comfortable seats, and they want to see the game.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you and I want.
Okay? Yeah.
Now at our age, restrooms become more important.
Yeah.
You want restrooms, concessions. Now, I like that. To me, the video board's really important, Dave, because I feel that you want to give the fan in the stadium the same thing the home experience has. So you can see replays and things like that. That's why the video board to me is important. But all the same things that millennials want are the same things that you and I want. And I think they've misjudged what millennials want and what 18 to 49 wants at ESPN. I think at ESPN, I think they're missing the fact that people just want to hear things reported about games, about teams, and things like that, while they're delving into areas that they have no business delving into because they're not informed enough to give the opinions.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. I know that I just really get upset sometimes when I listen to it. Even the regular news, and it just seems like look at me. I'm going to tell you the story. And I'm going to tell you what I think happened or what's going on, and let's hype it up a little bit. You know, I mean, Vin Scully talked and told a lot of stories. Mm-hmm. He always told stories. He made the game melt into the stories that he told, or vice versa. And you know, they're the things that I miss. And he's somebody that that as the years go by, I know he's great, but people are just going to see how great he was. And I think Joe Buck does a good job with things like that too, to make stories. And you do too. I mean, it's you got to make you talk about the game, and you also have to have some things along the side, but it has to be a smooth flow. And today with Hernandez's suicide and the Patriots going, and you know, Tom Brady, I have a great amount of admiration for him, because he, people just basically don't like him because he's good, but he's also very. I read a story about him and how he has kept in touch with kids that he played on his midget team and his junior high team, and he's helped their families out when they've had difficulty, and now he has a mother who's basically dying of cancer, and yes. You know, that's why he's staying home. It's not because
that's right.
He doesn't want everybody to see that, hey, I'm a friend of the president. You know, I mean, just tell it like it is. You know, it's just not right. It's not the right thing to do.
Right, and that's why when I heard this morning, you know, this controversial visit to the White House. Controversial in what way? What the heck are you talking about?
Exactly.
Say there's the three of us, okay? And say, for example, one of us agrees with the president, one of us doesn't, and another one has no opinion, right? Or two of us, you know, whatever. And the one that doesn't like the president decides not to go. And the other two decide to go. That's your choice. That's why we're in America. We're allowed to make choices that don't harm anybody.
Yeah, you know, if I had the opportunity to go to the White House and meet the president and be there, I mean, that is a once in a lifetime situation. And you know, if I don't make the choice to go because I don't like who's there, that's just showing you how, if I can use the word, stupid I am. And you know,
let me put you this way. I mean, regardless of who's in the White House, I'd go, and I'd be using that camera phone to take a few pictures along the way. So I'd say, hey, you won't believe where I went.
Exactly.
That'd be me.
Me too. On a lighter mode, I have to tell you that Kevin outfished me on Saturday. So I don't know. You'll just have to talk to him about the whole story. But first day of trout season, He beat me. I have to admit it. So we'll, you know, well, I'm sure that a lot of people would be surprised at that, but he did.
Well, we want your number. Then when we get Kevin's side of the story, we want to make sure the number's accurate.
Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where being an investigative reporter pays off. And I do know that there was a certain tank at the Her household, at the house of Her, in which there were six trout. And when you weren't looking, out of a little bucket they came. Oh, Dave, look. Oh, you notice how they didn't put up much of a fight, Dave?
Yeah. No.
What's that in the backyard? That's the Her hatchery.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that I did see him catch fish, and I saw him lose some fish. So I guess the other ones he had must have been from the house. That's all I can figure out.
Okay. Was he in a suit?
Well, no. You know, Kevin and I talked about that. We both said if he doesn't catch any fish, he looks like a fisherman. He's got the right outfit on. So, and he agreed. His friend told him one time. He said, "Kevin, you may not get a deer, but you sure do look like a hunter out here." So, you know, and that is always it is important to look good no matter where you're at. My mother told me that, and so did my aunt who was a teacher. She said you always want to look your best. And I think Kevin must have had a couple aunts the same as mine.
Hey, are you coming out with us on the 3rd?
I don't think so. I haven't heard. Probably they have somebody. That's fine. You know, last year, Steve, we had one golfer on our team. That was you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We still finished 2 under, all right, yeah. Which was pretty impressive, you know. So, I mean, the rest of us were, you know, either once in a while get a good shot in there, but you were the guy that got us out of trouble a lot of times.
That's because I'm used to it.
I'm used to being in trouble, but I usually get in more trouble after I get to where I don't know what to do. So
we're going to have to find out here because we had a blast having you out there last year at the country club. We had a great time.
I enjoyed myself. It's
good.
You know, I'd rather not keep score when I go golfing. And you know, Mark Twain said it's a good walk ruined, but it's a good walk anyway. So
it's a good walk. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
It is.
Hey, I'll let you go.
Thanks, Dave. Good luck with the gazebo.
I'm going to quit for the day. It's time to have a beverage, I think. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
You sound like Sean at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
No, 3:08. 3:08.
I think I need a beverage.
Yeah. Hey, you guys have a good day, all right? And thanks for letting me talk, all right?
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks,
loved
Chief.
It. Yep. Thanks so much.
You bet.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you're looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has the 2017 Lincoln MKX all-wheel drive starting at $38,016 after $1,000 retail premium bonus cash. Plus, well-qualified buyers can get 0% financing for 60 months with Lincoln Automotive Financial Services. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continental in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Cardinals have beaten the Pirates 2-1. So what, they sweep the series, right? If that's the case, the Pirates are all sweeps. Yeah. The Pirates have played 15 games this year. They've swept 2 series, and they've been swept 3 series. That, to me, that is unbelievable. Another six innings from Gerrit Cole. Can't find the seventh. He's the losing pitcher. But again, at some point, Gerrit Cole is going to have to be a guy that gets a team into the seventh inning. He can't be the number one guy and do that. Now, he pitched well today. Gave up six hits on two runs. He struck out eight. He gave up two home runs. Dexter Fowler homered off of him. In fact, Dexter Fowler had two home runs off of him today.
Yep, you're correct. Bucco's off tomorrow, then they're home with a series with the Yankees over the weekend. Yeah, you're right. If Garrett's going to start at least 30 times over the season, got to make some hay.
I mean, to me, if he's going to start 30 times in the season, 15 to 20 of them, he has to get them into the seventh inning. Today, 91 pitches, six innings, take them out. Now, did it have an effect in the game? No. But you know what? Two relief pitchers came in today. Who's not to say they're not out of gas from having to pick extra games and innings that he pitches in April? What's to say in August they don't run out of gas?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. All right, time now for the Sports Bozo of the Day. Marcus Smart of the Celtics fined $25,000 for an obscene gesture. After missing a three-point shot midway through the fourth quarter, Smart appeared to gesture toward a fan courtside of the Garden. Soon after, as he retreated on defense, Smart seemed to motion to the fan to sit down. Brad Stevens said, obviously I've been told of the gesture. I saw a brief video clip of it. From my clip, from the angle I saw it, I couldn't tell. But obviously if he made a gesture, it's unacceptable and will be handled by the league. They've done so to the tune of $25,000. Okay, let's point this out. It's also, these are your fans. He wasn't on the road. Oh, goodness gracious. Wow. So there you go. There's your sports bozo of the day. When you start making gestures at your own fans at a playoff game, that's not good. I'm no expert, but that just doesn't seem good. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. It's great to have you with us. Tomorrow, Patrick Chambers on the show. We'll talk basketball. Ross Tucker on the show tomorrow. Look forward to that. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL with Ross. And tomorrow night, James Franklin is scheduled to be at Letterman's with me from 6:05 to 7. And we'll talk about the blue-white game. Cindy in Shamokin Dam. Hello, Cindy. It's a pleasure. I can't hear her. Oh, there she is. Hi, Cindy.
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's really wonderful to hear you.
Hey, listen, I have a mystery that you can help me solve. I have a picture from my father-in-law's memorabilia, and it's a photograph at the White House outside on the lawn. And in the picture is obviously the Nittany Lions. Mm-hmm. And in the picture is my father-in-law, Jim O'Hora, Tor Turetti,
yep.
Rip Engel shaking JFK's hand.
Right.
And all the football team obviously behind them. And they're wearing heavy coats, and there's no leaves on the trees. Have I given you enough clues?
I think it was on their way to the Gator Bowl in 1962. And I think they stopped at the White House and were invited in.
Oh, that's great. All right. Thank you. You know, you get treasures, and you don't know.
You know what's really odd about that?
Hmm.
You know who really did not like John F. Kennedy?
No.
Was Rip Engel.
Well, he's got a smile as big as all outdoors on his face. He's very courteously shaking his hand.
I remember when Rip passed away, Joe Paterno was telling this story about when... Actually, let me rephrase that. When it was the 40th anniversary of JFK being assassinated, my apologies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Joe related the story about how everyone found out. And he said Rip Engel, who was no fan of John Kennedy's, came into the staff meeting and he said Rip's face was ashen, that the president had been shot and killed. It affected him that much.
Well, I can see in this picture they're all thrilled. Faces are beaming. It's amazing. But thank you for answering that question for us.
It was 1962. I think they were on their way to the Gator Bowl to play a game. They were able to stop in. I don't know if Senator Hugh Scott set it up, which he very well might have, but they were able to meet President Kennedy. It was a great thrill for all of them. I've talked to a couple of players from that team. They were thrilled to do that.
You can see how happy they were to do that.
Yeah, we'll visit to Camelot.
No life is complete unless you've, I guess, been to the White House. But anyway, just for the record, the Nittany Lions have been there then. How cool is that?
They have been there, and they were also there in 1987 when they presented President Reagan with a jersey. And Joe Paterno, I remember he related to me once that was as nervous as he's been, where he had to get up and speak with the president standing there. And he held up a number one jersey. And he said, Mr. President, he said, we're going to give you this jersey because we think you're number one. He said, then he turned it around. He says, you notice, he said, there are no names. He says, we didn't put your name on the jersey. He says, because at Penn State, we're team players. And he looked over and he said, and we're conservative.
Well, the only president in Penn State stories, one, we got our own post office because of Eisenhower. And secondly, I remember, I lived in State College, grew up there, and I remember when Richard Nixon gave the championship to that other team. And all across the town, on every placard and storefront and people's homes, it said, Nixon who? With a big question mark, which I thought was a great response to it, I thought that was very clever.
He flies into Fayetteville in the helicopter, and he sits in the stands. I mean, not in the press box. This is 1969. So he's sitting in the stands with the fans, with an overcoat on. And, of course, Joe Paterno was at home watching the game, and somebody from the Associated Press, it may have been Ralph Bernstein, called and wanted his reaction to seeing the president give Texas the trophy because they won the game 15-14, something like that. And Joe said, I don't know. I didn't watch the game. I was babysitting.
Well, I have one other mystery question out of this photograph. Maybe you can answer. There is just one black football player in this picture. All the rest of the players are white. You can see their faces.
Right. That would be Dave Robinson. That would be probably Dave Robinson.
Dave Robinson.
Who played for Vince Lombardi and the Packers. There are only two people in the history of Penn State that are in both the College Football and Pro Football Hall of Fames. One's Dave Robinson, the other's Jack Ham.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, was this the team that wouldn't go to the bowl because they were saying they wouldn't go because they wouldn't let the black players come?
That was the Cotton Bowl game in 1948.
Oh. Oh, my.
And what happened was that they wanted to... now, Dave Robinson ran into the same thing going down to Jacksonville. They didn't want... They wanted to put the black players in one area and the white players in another. And, of course, Penn State already had a tradition of not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it dates back to 1948 when Wally Triplett and Fred Hogarth were down there, and the Cotton Bowl was not enamored with the idea of having two black players play in the game because they've never been integrated in the game before. And so Penn State stayed at the Naval Air Station in Dallas to stay as a team and would not separate themselves from teammates.
I'm proud of them for that.
That's where they say that the we are came from.
Yep. Proud of them for that. Well, thank you for filling in this bit of history. I'll write it on the back of the picture.
I'm a blank filler.
You are.
I'm a blank filler. I mean, really. And to do it without even seeing the picture, it's even more
amazing. I think that's amazing. And I'm in no position to challenge you, you know. But I appreciate you telling us. There's nothing online about it, so.
But I recall, I've seen the picture before. It's not that I have not seen the picture. I have seen it before.
Well, then, you do know, right?
I've seen it, but I've seen a whole bunch of other pictures. But
well, that's true.
I recall seeing the picture, and I know who was on the team at the time. So,
well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great one.
My pleasure. You too, Cindy. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Bye-bye.
We'll wrap things up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yep, that's me, the gap filler. That was a really good Penn State team, too, in 1962. They went to the Gator Bowl that year with a 9-1 record. Now, Florida beat them in the Gator Bowl that year. But it's a good football team. The only other loss they had that year was to Army. And that was a good team. Yep, that's what I do. We fill gaps here. Sean's looking around like
me. I just take up space. At least I hope I do more than that. But
no, you're pretty invaluable. This whole operation, I don't. No doubt about that. But yeah, Dave Robinson's the only Dave Robinson and Jack Ham are the only two Penn State football players to be in both the pro and college Hall of Fames. And Dave Robinson was a senior on that 62 team. He was the first round pick of the Packers in 63. And he played, he played tight end, he played defensive end, and in the pros he played linebacker. And he was an All-American in 62. Great player. And an absolute personality. Have you ever been around Dave? Every time I'm around Dave Robinson, he makes me laugh. He has one of the truly great senses of humor you'd ever want to be around.
Well, his Hall of Fame induction speech at Canton a couple of years ago was just very heartfelt and genuine, and
well, and it takes that long to get someplace. My goodness, you appreciate it so much when it takes that long. I mean, because Dave Robinson was out of the game, 72, somewhere around there. I think he finished out with the Redskins. So he finishes up his career in the early 70s. He doesn't get to the Pro Football Hall of Fame to 4 years ago? So he ends up waiting almost 40 years to get in. Well, when you wait 40 years for something, you do give a heartfelt speech, because guess what? It really, at that stage of your life, to get that kind of honor, which he richly deserved. He should have been in a lot earlier than that. mean, with Nitschke, I think Leroy Caffey was the other outside linebacker, Dave Robinson. Dave Robinson was a great, great pro player. Great college player. Great pro player. So, yeah, so he was on that team. And I think that was the reason why they, I think Senator Hugh Scott set it up. And she brought up the 69 thing. And Hugh Scott, who was the still the senator of Pennsylvania at that time, he ripped the president on the Senate floor. And they wanted to give Penn State a plaque for the longest undefeated streak. And I don't think Penn State accepted it. Yeah, we don't want it. But the 82 team did not get to the White House, but the 86 team did. And that's when they gave President Reagan the jersey. It's actually kind of a cool story. I think somewhere in this file, I don't know if I have it or not. I might not. Here we go. Here, you want to hear it?
You betcha.
All right.
Now, before I finish, let me say a special congratulations to Coach Joe Paterno. My money, I think he's one of the greatest coaches ever in college sports. He's never forgotten that first and foremost, he's a teacher who's preparing his students not just for the season, but for life.
Mr. President, I want to say, as Dr. Jordan has said, how pleased we are and how proud that you would invite us here to the White House. And I want to present you with something that I think maybe signifies what Penn State athletics are all about. And this is a jersey that you can wear when you're out there chopping wood and drying the horses a little bit. Okay? And there's a couple of things about this jersey I want you to notice. Number one, as far as we're concerned, you're number one. Number two, there are no stripes on this jersey. We're not very flashy at Penn State. We don't put anybody's name on the back because we're team players. All right? And we're conservative.
That was 30 years ago, 1987. That's why you keep certain things in the old library, you know? And we can play it back, people can actually hear.
I'm accused to be a pack rat of, what are you saving that bit of audio for? You never know.
Well, you know, but when Joe passed away, remember I did that show?
That's right, the Memorial Day special.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I kept all the elements to it because, you know, I thought along the way there might be a few things in there, either a play-by-play call or something he said or whatever. That could be used at a later date.
No, I remember that Memorial Day afternoon, my wife and the family, they wanted to get out of the Dairy Queen, get some ice cream. I stayed in the car. I didn't want to miss any of the show.
Yeah.
I said to my wife, give me a blizzard. I'm staying right here.
What kind of blizzard did you get?
Oreo.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
I think we called it Joe Paterno in his own words, or his life in his own words, or something like that is what we called it. Because it was all... I'd saved a lot of stuff over the years. And to be able to put it together. Yeah. But yeah, so that was 30 years ago. 1987. And that's the last time that entire football team was together. And Bob White's talked about that. You know, that was really what struck him. You know, they've had reunions over the years, and almost everybody's there, but not everybody's. You know, for various reasons. I mean, for obviously, in certain cases, such as John Bruno's passed away, for example. And then there are others who their jobs or their families have taken them far and wide. They can't make it back, or there's some circumstance they can't get there. Okay. And that's one thing Bob White told me, and he's mentioned to me a couple times, that what made that trip so special was that they went to the White House, but he also knew it was the last time that every one of them would be there together. There'd be no missing individuals. So, all right, so the Patriots went today, and it was not a day for the four-letter network to distinguish itself. I think what they don't realize is I think they're setting a bad example, my opinion, as someone who teaches. I think they're setting a bad example for young sports broadcasters as to what is expected in today's world. And you know, and Dave Ritchie was on earlier, and look, I'm very old school. I know it. I know I'm very old school. But to me, it's the games and the information that is much more important than slipping an opinion in, especially if it's something I don't really know if I'm talking what I'm talking about, which might be most of this show. But you do get to a point where you've had a lot of experience, or you've been around a lot, or you've been able to ask people who have more experience than you do about something, which then allows you to form thoughts, opinions as to what and why. And I listened to the four-letter network talk about the controversial visit to the White House. What the heck's controversial about that? If you want to go, go. If you don't, don't. I don't care. That's your choice.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.